gospel according to Mark.
Glory
to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Scripture passages, there is something to be said about resting in God. You could probably relate to some of the kids, huh? Right? So much busyness that God has given us to be busy with. But we're invited to rest in God. In fact, we're more than invited. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's probably familiar to many of you. In the psalm that we read together, Psalm 81, we hear about God's desire to be our strength and our sustenance. So God invites at the end of the psalm, "Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." I almost get an image of a mom inviting a toddler to say, "Ah." Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And then finally, in these two controversies surrounding the Sabbath practice in the Gospel according to Mark, where the disciples are walking through the fields and then they pluck off some grain to eat it, and where Jesus heals a man whose hand has withered, even though it was the day for rest, Jesus teaches the Sabbath was made for humankind, and not the other way around. And not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath day. And it ends with the Pharisees conspiring to destroy Jesus because they are so angry at what he is teaching about this particular commandment that is written in God's law. And this is only the third chapter in the Gospel of Mark. So what's the big deal with the Sabbath day? Why a commandment in the first place? Well, for the people of Israel, Shabbat, or Sabbath, was about refraining from any kind of labor for an entire day. And it was kept from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Which is why in the gospel account of the resurrection, we find the women going to the tomb early on the first day of the week, because they were faithful in practicing that commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy, even between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, they refrained from their labors to rest on the Sabbath day. Sabbath is mentioned in the scriptures 171 times. So in light of its prevalence, I thought maybe this morning we might take some time to think about the practice of Sabbath keeping as Christians. For we who live in a culture with a strong work ethic where we're all going around like this most of the day. What difference does a Sabbath make in a life? So let me ask you this question. If you had this whole day and there were no plans and you didn't have to worry about any work, not work, not housework, no work, not doing a thing. You had a whole day and you could go anywhere and you could do anything. And that thing, whatever you would go and do, would bring you peace, would bring you restoration in life. What would you do? How would you practice Sabbath keeping? You see, if I have a Saturday morning, the first thing I'm going to do is sleep in. Let's be honest. I love sleeping in. And then after a little while, this like stirring happens within me. And I think, well, it's Saturday. I got to clean the house. I got to pay the bills. I got to get the groceries. If I was at Mom and Dad's, I'd weed the garden and I'd cut the grass. I'd maybe pack up some stuff and go for a picnic and a hike. And then I'd hike really hard so that I could work out. And then I would come home and then I would throw my clothes in the washer. And then I would maybe take a nap because I'm supposed to be rested for the next day. So then I would go and I would switch from the washer to the dryer. And then I would think about grilling and to do that. I got to clean the grill and then I got to scrape the grill. And then I got to boil the brats if that's what I'm having, which is usually what I have when I have a day to myself. And then I would put it all together and I would sit and I would feel so tired. And that was my Sabbath day. Can you relate? Right? It's important to have a clean home. It's important to take care of the things we have. But is it important for us to be so busy because we can't sit still with ourselves, with our loved ones, with the Lord? This practice of Sabbath keeping is so important that it actually shows up in the very first chapter of the Bible. It's the first spiritual practice that we are given, and it's demonstrated by God, God's self. So you remember that story from Genesis chapter 1, where God creates the heavens and the earth, and then God fills them, and it was evening, and it was morning, and the creation continues for 6 days like that. But then God sets apart the seventh day for rest. God hallows it, putting it in an entirely different place. I'm going to read that passage for you, and I would invite you to hone in on those words or phrases that you hear that are repeated. This is from Genesis chapter 1. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it because God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. So what do you hear? Seventh day, right? Seventh day, seventh day, seventh day, three times. What do you hear? God rested. Twice. God rested, God rested. What do you hear? From all the work that he had done, three times. From all the work that he had done, from all the work that he had done, from all the work that he had done. It's like if the writer of Genesis had been writing this in a Word document, there would have been bold, underline, and italics. You can hear that God is emphasizing the point that the Sabbath is meant for creation. This pattern of resting from labor is important even to God. And it was an important and essential part of creation itself. Well, the word sabbatical comes from Sabbath, and my sabbatical was an incredible gift, a time for rest, a time for wholeness, a time for renewal. But I also struggled with what to do with 6 whole weeks that were not filled with any work here. I know that sounds funny to say because some would think, oh, 6 whole weeks, what a gift. But for me, there was some burden in there because I was trying to figure out how to fill it, how to make it work. So when sabbatical began, I walked into my parents' home. My mom greeted me at the door, and she said, "There she is, Spaghetti Lady." That's what she heard. She didn't think it was sabbatical. She thought I was saying spaghetti. She sort of had it mixed up. She knew it was sabbatical, but she kept saying spaghetti. So I brought my sabbatical journal with me, and I named it Spaghetti, just for my mom. And I was looking back over some of my journal entries as I was thinking about how well Sabbath occurred when I had the chance. And well, I want you to kind of maybe judge for yourself a little bit. This is from the 25th of January. Just realizing how much my schedule has disappeared. I was awake last night between 3 and 5:30 a.m., wide awake. Although I'm trying to do good work and keep track of my calories and move my body more, it doesn't seem like it's doing anything, and I wonder what I'm doing wrong. The blanket of snow on the ground and the trees is making me wish we all could experience rest in winter, like the ground and like the trees, covered by God's blanket, to rest and renew. So, yeah, I had a hard time just resting. I went to California. I participated in a leadership academy where I learned really fun things and networked with friends. And then I had this little window of time that was not filled, and I could do anything I wanted out in that part of the state of California. And I waited until last minute, and finally I made a reservation. This is from the 3rd of February. After the conference, I struggled with what to do and where to stay. I could keep from spending a large sum of money, but the line item is there to be used toward my learning goals. I've always had a tough time relaxing, but I didn't realize how tough. After dropping Joe and Cindy off at the airport in Oakland, I made my way north to wine country. I booked a massage and a stay at a hotel. After the massage, I made a plan to have some pizza by myself, and I sat by the fire on the balcony, the sound of a creek, the smell of cedar, the cold but fresh 50-something degree February air, a cup of chamomile tea, and yet I still had a hard time letting go and relaxing. Why, I wonder? In that moment, the expense felt like it was worth it. I'm on sabbatical, an intentional time for rest. I'm in wine country, going to the spa. How many never find rest? How many never drop their shoulders or loosen their jaws? How many, under the illusion of control, hold tight and never find rest for their souls? Isaiah 55 comes to mind. God gives us water to quench our thirst and promises that when we go out in joy, we will be led forth in peace. Could God desire for me to be able to find that which quenches, even when life gets full again? We really do have so little control. So maybe we can relax, breathe, take a break. Maybe we can live, even experience and enjoy. It is possible, but as I am learning, it just takes practice, and I clearly need some more. So, what happens when we let go? What happens when the busyness stops and the quiet comes? Does it become threatening for us so we fill it? Does it become a gift that we know ultimately we might like a little more of? So we wait until the time is right. Looking back, I can see I had a hard time with the notion of complete and utter rest in God, I think, because in that part of my spiritual journey, I was having a hard time with complete and utter trust in God. Maybe you felt that way too, and perhaps maybe Jesus knew that was true for the Pharisees, who were trying so hard to follow the law itself that they were missing the point, the thing that was at the heart of the law to keep the Sabbath, God's desire for them. So Jesus is sure to address the topic because it was important to God that we be whole people, that we be people filled with life and peace. Although we may struggle to find that rest, I recently came across a devotional that reminded me that deep down inside of us, it's what we long for. It's from a devotional called God for Us, and the author writes, "There is a deep and constant desire for rest in human nature. It's almost as if we know that this life of climbing, competing, and contending is not our natural or desired mode. Sabbath, more than a nap on a Saturday, is intended to be life-orienting. Sabbath is meant to be life-giving. God chooses to rest at the end of creation. Why? Because creation was going to continue. Those were just the first 7 days. Creation was going to continue, and so God rests for the sake of life. The Sabbath becomes the hinge point between the beginning and life as it continues in human history. And we are given the gift of Sabbath too. I think in part to realize that what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians is true, that we are but treasure in earthen vessels, in finite containers. But we rest knowing that the power of God, which is extraordinary, comes from God and not from us." Theologian Caroline Lewis writes, "Not for a break, not for some time out or time off, not for a job well done, not just to recoup, not for the completion of a week worthy of reward, but rest is needed and essential because it anticipates life once again. Like with the kids, we're going to get the wiggles again. But God gives us space to be restored and renewed. When Sabbath is given and practiced for the sake of life, then it means getting back in there after Sabbath and figuring out where life needs to happen. So what difference might Sabbath perspective make in your life, if not a whole day? A shift in our mindset. And not just for a personal, individual, autonomous life, but how might Sabbath practice, Sabbath perspective, cultivate in you something life-giving? So as to look around with Jesus and to ask, who needs rest? So as to look around with Jesus and ask, who is in need of life when no one else is seeming to notice? Maybe it's a hungry disciple that's looking for nourishment. That's Sabbath perspective, plucking grain, even though it's a day for rest. Maybe it's a man whose life has been changed by his condition, a withered hand, and when Jesus says, stretch it out, that Sabbath perspective gives him new restoration, life, healing, and wholeness. Sabbath perspective frees us up, you and I, to really, truly rest in the promises of God and to trust that in the end, that's what God desires for us, is wholeness and life and a changed perspective that allows us to be a part of the work of creation and ready to live because we know that we live in Christ and that beyond the promise of the cross, is the promise of holy rest with God. Amen.